right, if you would take your Bibles tonight and go to Revelation 19. Does anybody need a handout? Would you lift your hand up real high if you did not receive one? Our ushers will make sure that you get one. Revelation 19. And we're going to review a little bit here from last week, and then we're going to get into part two. We're going through the 20 C's, the Bible from beginning to end, using the 20 C's, 20 key words and phrases that begin with C. And we've broken the Bible down. We went from Genesis, we're going all the way through to Revelation, using what we call the 20 C's. Tonight, we are on the coming of Christ, the coming of Christ. Let me know when you got that ready, Kathy, okay? And when you get it, we'll bring it up. I'm going to bring up a chart. The very first statement at the top of your handout was that prophecy culminates and reaches its fulfillment in the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. I told you last week, and I hope you remember this, that it's the most prophesied event in the Bible. If you're wondering, okay, what event in the Bible is the talked about the most as far as prophecy is concerned, it is the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that deal with the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. We'll just touch the hem of the garment tonight with it, okay? I mean, we're not even gonna begin to exhaust the subject, but we're gonna hopefully give you a very good overview of the subject, the second coming of Christ to earth. In your handout, you'll notice it says that it's at this time that Christ will make all things right and complete peace will be brought to this earth. When Jesus Christ comes back, and as soon as we get that chart, if we could bring it up, that'd be great. When Jesus Christ comes back down here to the earth, you notice the arrow coming down from heaven? When he comes back down at what we call the revelation, he's coming down to the earth to establish his kingdom on this earth. Jesus Christ is. We'll talk more about that as we go through. But basically what happens when Christ comes back to the earth at the second coming of Christ, Satan is put out of business and his evil world system will be replaced by Christ's glorious kingdom. How's that sound to you tonight? Pretty good? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Satan will be put out of business. Satan is going to be chained into the bottomless pit. And for the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, Satan will be in the bottomless pit. Now, let me ask you this, and this is a little bit of review from last week. Is the second coming of Christ, is that the same event as the rapture of the church, yes or no? No, it's not. The rapture of the church, the catching up, is where we meet Christ where? We meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The second coming of Christ, he comes all the way back down to where? He comes back down to earth. Does he come down to earth at the rapture? Yes or no? No, he meets us in the air, the Bible says. Revelation 19, if you'll go over there. This passage is really a very detailed account of Christ's return. And there's a lot of accounts like this in the prophets also. And we'll be cross-referencing some of those. But basically, if you read Revelation 19, starting in verse 11 on down through the end of the chapter, you're going to see that it teaches us four basic facts about this event right here called the second coming or called the revelation. There's four basic facts that I want you to get. Number one in your handout is that Jesus is coming back to make war with the ungodly. Go to verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened." Imagine that. Heaven, it's like a scroll, roll back. Boom, heaven opens up. There it is. "And behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true." So it's speaking of Jesus Christ. "And in righteousness," notice he doth judge and, what's the last two words there? Make war. Is that what he's doing today? Is Christ making war with the ungodly today? It's not what he's doing today. What's he doing today? Good. You guys are getting it. Woo! He is offering grace to the ungodly. The Bible says that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that good news? And that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What he's doing today is right here in the parentheses. It's a time of grace. He's not judging and making war with the ungodly today, but every one of Paul's letters starts with two key words. You may remember what they are? Grace and peace. That's what he's doing today. See? And that's what you got to understand. You see these groups out here many times. There was some whacked out group. I can't remember the name of them, but they go around and they go around to events like, say, a soldier dies in the military, and then they'll go to the funeral and just antagonize, and they'll hold up signs, you know, God's judging America, and just all kinds of real mean spirited signs. And they say all kinds of mean things. And you say, why do they do that? It's because they don't understand the mystery that God gave to the Apostle Paul. They think that God is making war with the ungodly today and that he's judging nations. No, he's not doing that. He's not judging nations. Okay, he's not judging Haiti because they had an earthquake. That wasn't God judging Haiti. Okay, our earthquakes are a part of life. Listen, earthquakes have been for thousands of years, and they're going to continue until Jesus Christ comes back down to this earth. Okay? So, you know, a hurricane hits Florida. That's not God judging Florida. Okay? You know, if an earthquake, you know, racks a country or Chile or whatever, it's not, God is not judging nations today. Will he judge nations one day? Yes, but that's not what he's doing right now. Right now, he's offering grace and peace to the world, to individuals, through the shed blood and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's offering grace and peace based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at the second coming, though, we see that he does make war. And he is going to make war. So he is going to do it. It's not that he's not. He is. Right now we're living in the time in which the prophetic program has been postponed. It's been suspended. And the prophetic program, the prophetic time clock has stopped, if you will, and the prophetic time clock will start ticking again here, and it will culminate then with Christ returning back down to the earth. And we looked at this last week, point number one, so we're not going to, you know, go into that a lot again. Let me give you the second thing tonight, which is new, and you need to get this. The second thing about the second coming of Christ I want you to see is that Jesus is coming back to not only make war with the ungodly, but number two, he's coming back to judge the ungodly. He's coming back to judge the ungodly. All right, let's go back to verse 11, Revelation 19, 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness," notice, "he doth," what's the next word? Judge. He doth judge. Look at verse 12. It says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire." Wow, is that descriptive or what? Did you ever do something real bad as a kid? And your parents' eyes were as a flame of fire? You ever do something like that? And I mean, their eyes are like a flame of fire. And notice the word there, his eyes were as a flame of fire. It didn't say they are a flame of fire. And it's not like there's this poof, fire coming out of his eye. It says they're as a flame of fire. You know, whenever we always take the Bible literally unless the Bible clearly tells us that it's not literal. Okay? And so clearly he's using some symbolism. He's using a description here, and he says that Christ's eyes were as a flame of fire. So what's his point? What's the point he's making? If my kids say, "Boy, the other day my dad got mad and his eyes were like a flame of fire," what are they saying? He's upset. He's angry. That's right. You know, one of the times when I saw flames of fire in my dad's eyes, I'll never forget it. And it was, my dad never got mad. My dad was one of the most patient men. He hardly ever got mad. I mean, it took a lot to get my dad mad. I didn't see him mad very often at all. But one time we were out in the garage playing ping pong, and I was extremely competitive, and I had a temper. Let me tell you, I had a terrible, terrible temper as a teenager. And we were playing ping pong, and I remember it was like deuce, you know, tied up. And then, you know, it was going back and forth. It was one of them games. And he beat me, which he did. He made a habit of that, beating me. But when he beat me, I got so mad, I turned around and I kicked the garage wall like that, and lo and behold, I kicked a hole in the wall of the garage. Boom, there's a hole. A big old hole. My dad's eyes were like a flame of fire. Oh, my soul. You say, what was the first thought that came into your mind? First thought that came into mind was run. Just run. Go back to Jude real quick. Go back to the book right before Revelation. One chapter, Jude. You turn too far, you're going to go by it. It's a little chapter there. One chapter, Jude, right before Revelation. And look at Jude 14 and 15. Jude 14 and 15. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam," so I mean, we're going way back here, "prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh." Look at this. This is the prophetic program that God said, Peter said, it's been revealed since the world began. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And notice, what's he coming to do? "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." He's coming back, and his eyes are like a flame of fire. Why? Because he's coming back to execute judgment when he comes back. There was a bumper sticker one time. You guys ever read bumper stickers? You know, you can get in trouble doing that. Sometimes bumper stickers are nasty, aren't they? But this particular bumper sticker, it said, "Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he mad." I thought that was kind of tickled me. You know, Jesus is coming back, boy, is he mad. Well, you know, there's some truth in that, because when Jesus Christ comes back at that second coming down to the earth, he's not coming back waving to people and blowing kisses when he comes back, folks. In fact, look at your handout, and let me show you a couple of cross-references here. Look at Isaiah 34 and verse number 8. It says there, Isaiah 34, 8. It's in your handout there. "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Look at Isaiah 30, 27 and 30. It says, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the light, the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." Wow, how descriptive. Look at the next one, Isaiah 66, 15 and 16. "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." Well, go back to Revelation 19, and that's what you're going to see. The slain of the Lord shall be many. Look over at Revelation 19. And notice what it says there in verse 21. Revelation 19, 21. It says, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." So this is pretty descriptive stuff right here. In fact, if you look down at verse 13, it's interesting here. Are y'all warm tonight, by the way? It's a little warm. Can we get some cool air going? Who's back that could do that? Anybody? I don't see anybody. Seth? Yeah, let Seth do it. Seth knows how to do it. Well, if we can get it going, I think we'll be all right. I just don't want anybody passing out on me tonight. All right. Look at Revelation 14. Go back there. This is, stay in Revelation 19. First, I want to read verse 13, then we'll go to chapter 14. Look at Revelation 19:13. When he comes back, it says, and he was clothed, it says, with a vesture, it just means a garment or a robe, and notice, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. When Jesus Christ, when John's seeing all this, he's seeing Christ return. And he says that there's blood all over the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you something. Is that Christ's blood? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ shed his blood, the Bible says, once forever, but never again. Christ will not shed his blood a second time. He shed it once for the redemption of mankind. You say, well then, what's the blood all over him? That's the blood of his enemies. In verse 15, notice what it says. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And notice, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. In verse 15, we have the analogy of trampling grapes in a winepress. Let me ask you a question. If you were to get barefoot, and if you were to start trampling grapes, okay, and you were to begin trampling those, what is the juice from those grapes going to do? It's going to splatter up on you, isn't it? It's going to splatter up, and it's going to dye your garment. Well, look down with me at Revelation 14. Go over to chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 14. Remember when I told you that you're taken through the tribulation four times in the book of Revelation? Just like you have four accounts of his first coming, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have four accounts of his second coming in the book of Revelation. This is one of those times. This is the second time through, and it ends with the second coming of Christ. Each time that you're taken through the tribulation, you're given different details, and then it ends with the second coming. Well, this is one of those times. Look down at verse 14. It says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. As Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming to judge the ungodly nations. And it's as if the Bible says he's treading in a wine press of grapes. Only it's people, it's ungodly people who have taken their fist and they've taken their fist and shook it in the face of God. And the Bible says in Revelation, they've cursed God, and they swore against God, and they've made war now against God, and they've made war against the Lamb, and they've rejected Jesus Christ in favor of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And now finally the time of wrath and the time of judgment, the time to make war has come, and Jesus Christ returns, and he makes war, and he judges the ungodly. And the Bible says that as he does that, it's the analogy of treading grapes in a wine press, and the blood is flowing, and it's coming up on the garments of Jesus. And the Bible says there, if you go back over to Revelation 19, it says in verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. and his name is called the Word of God. He's coming back to judge the ungodly. Number three in your handout, Jesus is coming back to deliver his people, Israel. As I told you before, Mark, if I could have a little, just a touch more in the A's. As I told you before, all the nations are going to come and they're going to gather against the nation of Israel to annihilate them, to destroy them. They're going to gather in the Valley of Armageddon and they're going to begin to come and lay siege upon them. And when it looks like that they're just about to be successful and they're about to destroy and annihilate Israel, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, heaven is going to open, and here comes the Lamb. And he's going to come and judge and make war with them. And the Antichrist and the false prophet who are leading the charge, of course, he's going to judge them too. But there's something interesting I want to bring out here about Israel. Look at verse 12. And I found this fascinating as I was studying this out. In verse 12, it says that his eyes were as a flame of fire. We saw that. And on his head were many crowns. We'll talk about that a little later. But then I want to focus on this. It says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. When Jesus comes back, if you go back to the chart, when he comes back here, the Bible says that he's coming back with a secret name that nobody knows and nobody will know until the day that Christ returns. You say, what is that name all about? Well, I think we can identify it. Go back to Revelation 3, not identify the name. I think we can identify what it's related to. It says in Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Go back. Now, let's see what this is identified with. Go back to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Keep your bookmarker here in Revelation. We're going to come back. But go back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And if you begin reading here in the context, clearly the discussion here is of the nation of Israel in the last days. In Isaiah 61, verse 9, it says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Well, whose seed is going to be known among the Gentiles? Israel, right? They're not Gentiles. And their offspring among the people, all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. And then we're going to go on down here for time's sake. Go to 62, verse 1. I just wanted you to see who we're talking about. We're talking about Israel, redeemed Israel. 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. God says, I'm not going to rest till there's peace and righteousness in my city, Jerusalem. Let me ask you something. Is there peace and righteousness in Jerusalem right now, yes or no? No. And he said, I'm not going to rest until it happens. Okay, look at verse 2. It says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, speaking to Israel, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a what? New name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Wow. He says down there in verse 5, as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now, listen very closely, because this is a blessing. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming back to deliver the seed there, the believing remnant of the nation of Israel. And when he comes back, he comes with a new name that nobody knows. According to Isaiah, he's going to take that name and he's going to give it to the nation of Israel. Hosea 3:19 talks about how that when Christ returns, how God will betroth Israel to himself. And let me ask you something. Whenever a man marries a woman, what's the first thing he does? He gives her a what? Gives her a new name. Used to be Denise Webster. Now it's Denise Proctor. I gave her a new name. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and is betrothed and married to the nation of Israel, he gives his bride a new name. Look at Isaiah 65. Go over to chapter 65, verse number 15. Isaiah 65, 15. Over and over, Israel, God calls Israel, my servants, my servants, my servants. And in Isaiah 65, 15, he says, and ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. He's speaking of the unbelieving Gentile nations. He says, you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee. That's what he's going to do at his second coming. He's going to slay the ungodly. And notice what he's going to do. He's going to call his servants by what? Another name. Can I share another thought with you just to kind of get your thinking processes going? What man in the Bible got a new name? Well, Paul. But what man in the Old Testament, when he finally sought God, got a new name? Jacob. What came from Jacob? The 12 tribes of Israel. When Jacob finally sought God, God at that point gave him a new name. Does anybody remember what the new name Jacob got? Israel. That's right. And God said that you are as a prince, and he said you're as a prince that has power with God and with men. When Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says the government of the earth will now be on his shoulders, and he'll be called the prince. Just as he said, Jacob, you'll be a prince now with God and with men. Jesus will be the Prince of Peace. And Ezekiel 34:24 says, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, speaking of Christ, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Christ is going to come back to the earth, and like Jacob, where is the man that Israel came from, as he was a prince with God and with men, he was a type, a picture. Christ is going to come back. He'll be a prince with God and with men. And like Jacob, he's going to come back with a brand new name. And then he's going to impart and share that name with the nation of Israel. He brings with him a new name. Revelation says, for the believing remnant of Israel, who now will have power with God and with men. In your handout, it says that Christ returns to earth. Christ returns to earth to deliver Israel and fulfills his covenant promises to them and establish their kingdom on earth forever. Look in your handout at Romans 11, 26 and 27. Paul declared here, the Apostle Paul, he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. When? Well, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Why is Christ going to do this? For this is my what, church? Covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's when their sins will be blotted out, and the times of refreshing will come when Christ returns. Look at Psalm 105, verses 8 through 11 in your handout. It says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. You can also read the other scriptures that I have up there, Psalm 89, Joel 2, Joel 3, all speak of the same thing. For time's sake, we're not going to read all those. But Jesus Christ is going to keep that everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel. He's going to give them that land area that he promised them, and he's going to reign over them as their king on a literal Davidic throne there in Jerusalem. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. All right, number four, last point. Number four, Jesus is coming back to rule and reign over this world. If you're in Isaiah, go to Zechariah. Getting back towards the end of the Old Testament now. Zechariah, and then the last book is Malachi. Zechariah 14, chapter 14. You remember we read back in Revelation 19, 12 that when Christ comes back, he comes back with many crowns on his head? Well, why is that? Here's why. He's coming back to conquer the nations. He's going to save the nation of Israel, and he's going to rule over the entire earth. He's coming back as King of what? King of kings and Lord of lords. You remember in verse 15 back there in Revelation 19, he comes with a sharp sword, and with it he's going to smite the nations, and he's going to rule them, verse 15 said, with a rod of iron. Well, that's a fulfillment of Psalm 2 and a score of other Old Testament prophecies, such as Zechariah. Look at Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. We call it the Battle of Armageddon. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Wow. Look down at verse 9. And this is a key verse. You ready? Look at it. And the Lord shall be king over what, church? All the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Look down at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And then it goes on through here and it describes this. So Jesus is coming back to do. Go to Matthew 25, first book of the New Testament. Jesus speaking, Matthew 25. This will be the last place we'll go to. Matthew 25. This has some wonderful teaching on this subject. Many people get all confused about the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. All of them are parables that are teaching the truth of verse 31. Okay? They're all symbolizing things that will happen at the second coming of Christ to earth. Look at verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink." You know, we take that passage many times, and I'm afraid sometimes people misappropriate that passage. The passage about I was hungry and you fed me and all that, that is actually a tribulation passage. It's dealing with those in the tribulation that were kind and that were gracious to the nation of Israel. Took them in as the Antichrist was hunting them down. Protected them, hid them, fed them, stuck up for them. when nobody else would. And so he gathers the nations and he separates them, the sheep from the goats. And it appears from the text that there are going to be some nations that won't even make it into the kingdom at all. If you look down at verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Look down at verse 45. "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these." Remember, he's talking to the nations right now. "Ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The nations that followed the Antichrist, the nations that persecuted Israel, will be turned into hell. That will be a fulfillment of Psalm 9:17, where he talks about the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. And this will be a literal fulfillment of that. So we have four keys here to the second coming of Christ. What were they? Number one, he's coming back to make what with the ungodly? War. Number two, he's coming back to what the ungodly? Coming back to judge. So he's going to make war, he's going to judge. It's the opposite of what he's doing today. Today, he's offering grace and peace. That's the opposite of judgment and war. Okay. Number three, he's coming back to deliver who? Israel. Number four, he's coming back to rule and reign over this world. Amen. Satan's going to be put out of business. And so then what? All right, when he comes back, then what? Well, next week we'll cover then what, okay? So come on back next week and we'll continue. We're almost getting to the end here of the 20 C's. Thank you for coming tonight.